It's 7 o'clock. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. You know what that means. It's time for Here Now with Rachel C. I'm your host, Rachel C. Thank you for tuning in with me on this lovely evening to celebrate live performance culture. My guest tonight is Sal Cataldi. Thanks for being here on the program. We're going to kick this off with a little something from a couple of local boys, former guests. This is Graffiti of the Young Man's Mind from the Bushwick Hotel. Hey everybody, that was the Bushwick Hotel, Graffiti of the Young Man's Mind. It's one of my favorite songs from them. So I'm in the studio today. Here and Now likes to celebrate live performance culture. I like you guys to go out and do the thing, to listen to the radio live, your computer radio live. So on that note, I always tell you about things to go out and do. I want you to go out and do the thing. There's a lot of events coming up. Festival season is upon us, of course. Check out, just encourage you to check out your local festivals or your not local festivals. A great basis for getting out of town and seeing a new city is to have a music festival to go see, you know? It's a great thing to do. Okay, so events going on. Tomorrow night, Friday, June 2nd, she goes on at 11 p.m. at Piano's. Former Here Now guest Mercury Wolf will be performing in New York. Go check that out. It's not just music. It's kind of like a mini theatrical production that she does within the construct of a band. You really got to check it out. There's no better way to describe that. Also, some things going on this weekend. Saturday, June 3rd, former Here Now guest Even Twice are playing at the Parkside Lounge in New York City. That's about Cherney Street in Houston, about Avenue B right there, thereabouts. Listeners will notice that New York City addresses of venues, it's kind of an intersection that I give. I get very specific when I'm listing out of town stuff. It's my own personal point of reference. It's a New Yorker in me. Also this Saturday, and this happens every month, there is something called First Saturdays at the Brooklyn Museum. It's free and they do some live performances in the evening, but this one coming up is very special because Brooklyn's own Tamar Kali will be performing. I'm a big fan of hers. Shout out to Tamar Kali. Go check her out. I believe she goes on at 9, but there's starting at 5 o'clock. There's going to, you know, you can go into the museum for free. Check it out. Always really cool things happening at the Brooklyn Museum. It's supposed to be a nice night Saturday, so go out and do that. On Friday, June 23rd, 8 p.m. are the Doors. Things get started at 8:30. Unit J Ladies Night will be happening. That's at Unit J, 338 Moffett Street, Unit J in Brooklyn. Let's see, there's a whole lot. My guest a few weeks ago, Meg Farrell, was talking about this thing she's a part of. It's the Unit J Ladies Night. Female performers, that's the lineup, but really talented and diverse classically and trained musicians coming on. Let's see, what the deets I have. Keep it classy in your dress, in your behavior. There's a cocktail hour with an open bar, 8:30 to 9:30, and like hours and hours of really great music. And I believe the tickets in advance are only $8. So definitely go check that out. Also happening this month in Brooklyn, Brooklyn Pride Week is from June 5th to the 10th. Ooh, it's coming right up. Brooklyn Pride turns 21 this year, and the theme is equality, no exceptions. There are great events during Brooklyn's Pride Week. Blah. If you ever were wondering if this is a live show or not, there you go. There's something every week. June 5th through 10th, a documentary of the first openly trans FDNY firefighter, queer comedy, and a full day of activities on Saturday, June 10th. There will be a 5K in Prospect Park. There's a race. And apparently I'm not working weekends now, so then a festival entertainment family space and a parade all on Fifth Avenue. Check out the full week events and learn about getting involved on the website, brooklynpride.org. Go check it out. It's Pride Month, but Pride Week in Brooklyn is happening. Lots of fun. It really sounds like there's something for everyone. There's a race, there's a festival, there's a movie. There's going to be food somewhere, I'm sure. That's going to happen. All right, that's what's happening this week and this month around town. My guest tonight is the one and only Sal Cataldi. I'm thrilled to finally meet you in person. Sal, you've been around a long time.
Yes.
And I've of course read up on you like I do all of my guests. Really impressive career and your study and the thing you've got out now is Spaghetti Eastern. I just love the name of that.
That makes one.
Was that kind of inspired by the spaghetti westerns?
Absolutely, you got it. Originally, the music that I was doing when I started was all instrumental and very much inspired by kind of cinematic stuff. And so that's when I came up with the name Spaghetti Eastern, which was a play on Spaghetti Western. Mm-hmm. And then gradually I evolved more to doing sort of acoustic vocal songs with some looping and some adventure. But I like the name Spaghetti Eastern. I think it's pretty memorable. It makes a cool album cover. You know, I got to put spaghetti on it. And, you know, and it's actually my favorite food, I would say.
I mean, who doesn't love spaghetti?
I think there's a war on spaghetti these days, you know.
The war on carbs.
The war on carbs, the war on gluten. I don't subscribe to that. Some cold Gavadelli out of the freezer. No sauce, no water, just frozen. raw out of the box is good too.
Cold spaghetti.
Cold spaghetti's the best.
That's the best for breakfast the next morning.
There you go.
I had that. That was my favorite as a teenager. Lots of salt and tomato sauce. So you've had an extensive career. I mean, I don't even know where to start. You studied at a pretty well-known conservatory, if you will. You're studying initially in like jazz composition or
music? Well, what happened is, I mean, that came somewhere down the line. I had been playing for about, you know, like 20 years, you know, mm-hmm. 15 years, and you know, wanted to expand my knowledge, and I had been listening, obviously, to jazz and all sorts of more evolved music. So I decided to go to I was living in Park Slope at the time. I lived in Brooklyn for 20 years. And I went to the Jazz Conservatory there and studied harmony, got into playing, you know, straight ahead stuff. Probably not great. But I learned enough to become dangerous. You know, you take away enough knowledge of scales and harmony and to just evolve the music up a step.
So you were already playing.
Yeah, I was playing.
That's a little different. You know, you don't always hear that. Usually, I've been playing for 20 years. Why do I have to? Then you decide to go. But also, you didn't just like start jamming with someone maybe who was a little better than you. You went to school. And that's a little different. Wow.
I went to school. I got deeply immersed in jazz. And then through a trumpet player, I was invited to a jam session with a drummer. And we were playing jazz. And he was like, "Do you like to play rock?" I said, "Yes, I like to play rock." So then I kind of went into a whole, you know, sort of rock punk vibe with what was then called this collective called the Brooklyn Beat, which was around in the late 80s and through the early 90s in Brooklyn, kind of clustered around a club in Park Slope called Lauderbacks, which was kind of like, Lauderbacks was kind of like CBGB's, but a drunken walk from home. So it had a great bunch of bands. I was in a band called Frank's Museum. We made a few records. And then me and the drummer, the drummer who was a jazz drummer, who was also a rock drummer, then we started our own thing and sort of went off in a knitting factory direction mm-hmm. called the Harry Karaoke Trio of Doom, right. Another good name. And we played with people like Percy Jones, and we did like kind of the knitting factory set.
Right.
And then I got into like, you know, loops and guitar synthesizer and all sorts of different stuff. So uh-huh. as I was doing the rock stuff, we started that project and did we did two records. You know, so that was kind of in the sort of knitting factory noise jazz.
What was like the under what umbrella were those two records?
They were under an umbrella called Harry Karaoke.
Harry Karaoke.
Trio of Doom. So Harry Karaoke, that's a good name too. That was Doug Hitchcock, who now lives in Kansas City uh-huh. and is a jazz drummer, but. That we played like the Knitting Factory and that whole kind of downtown.
Yeah, there was a
scene.
thriving scene downtown. I came out of the whole kind of the downtown art scene back when there were all these theaters. When you could even do there, and there were like open mics that fed closed mics to book shows, and there were places where whatever your art was, you could find a stage and do it, or if you wanted to book a room, you could afford to do that, and it was really. This it was incredible. You couldn't walk and everything, you know, downtown. For listeners who maybe are less familiar with the topography of New York City, downtown is small. Things are close together. The blocks are a little shorter. You know, the streets are not quite so wide. You can within a 15 block radius have 12 venues. Back then, you could have, you know, you easily, nights for me back in the late 90s, early 2000s were things like, you know, I'm going to go see my friend's early set over here, then go see like, you know, that could have been a music show, and then go see like a one-act play, and then go over here to
the,
and you could really, and it was really like blossoming, but interesting, Lauderbacks as feeding, a feeder into the Knitting Factory. I'm just kidding. As I remember Lauderbacks. I forgot. I think I have to do the showtime sometimes to remember all the places I've gone and seen bands and the stories.
Well, they're all Korean delis now.
They're
like Max's Kansas City, Banks, the Fillmore, I guess, is a
bank. Oh, geez, even Morrisbar is a bank now.
Yes.
Morrisbar. Well, it was an unintentional performance art venue, maybe we can call it.
I also played in a bank. I don't remember what the name of the it was with a sort of performance artist woman, and we played at a – do you remember the place that was a gas station?
Yes, the gas station.
On Avenue A, and and then she hit me in the head with a doll. She didn't like what I was playing, so she threw a doll. I'm like there in my Muso, like bent over the guitar, and I just feel something hit my head.
Geez.
So I was hit by a doll. That was the last gig we did together.
Those were shows that actually happened at garages. There was a laundry theater group that actually did performances at a laundromat on Avenue C at one point. But yeah, it's just like there's a little room in the corner.
Ra with a 100-piece band.
Wow.
It's like he invited everybody from like the East Village with an instrument to come down. And that was, I think that was Avenue C, and that was like, that was when Avenue C was Avenue C.
Yes.
You know?
Oh yeah. You bring your instruments, but hold on to them. Don't set
you
them
do,
down
yeah.
anywhere. So you're part of that like really like crazy creative, a little bit experimental scene, I think, at that time. Because I mean, I've clearly, and I'm finding it fascinating, the whole like, you know, jazz study makes you a better rock musician in certain ways.
Well, I think it does. I mean, I think it's your ears. You look for unusual voicings and chords. You know, you have more scale knowledge, and you don't have to be too geeky about it, or, you know, it's just more of an interesting way to make melodies and build on that. And, you know, I also brought that, I think, to the acoustic music, too. I like, you know, Brazilian, you know, I don't play, like, a lot of songs with, like, a traditional D chord and a G chord. You know, it's always some kind of inversion just to give it a little bit of a different feel and flavor. So.
Yes, which I've heard a lot, and I appreciate myself so far, and we're going to get into that soon. We're going to hear that live in the studio tonight. If you missed any of tonight's broadcast so far, or you just really want to hear it all over again, tune in tomorrow at noon for a rebroadcast. This is Here Now with Rachel C. on Radio Free Brooklyn. So you were already at this for like 20 years playing when you decided to study. What got you started? Were you playing professionally for 20 years up until that point?
I played in like high school bands and, you know, cover material, and then like a really weird sort of, we thought we were kind of the mothers of invention across with the Art Ensemble of Chicago, a band called the Ammonia Trolls. But I wasn't, you know, but I was always interested in original music, so I didn't really delve too deeply into the whole cover world. And then, you know, after that, I just been lucky to be involved in other things like that. I don't know if you saw the 200 guitar thing with Reese Chatham. That was fun.
It was like you do these kind of like, how do we phrase them? Special events, special projects, or sort of
special
like,
projects,
special yeah, projects, like the exactly. You know, kind of balancing everything. Does that happen naturally, you think, when you start collaborating with so many different musicians?
For the last 10 years, I've been really working, you know, basically, you know, solo with the Spaghetti Eastern music thing because, you know, I'm at the age where it's kind of hard to, you know, suffer that the bass player doesn't show up or that the drummer's drunk or so. You know, it's kind of a one-man operation, which has its positives in terms of, you know, being on time and things sounding okay. And its negatives that you're not collaborating with other people. So I do, in my recent vintage, I kind of miss the collaboration at times. You know, there's always, I'm sure there's another one around the corner. There always is.
And, you know, well, you split your time now, but part of that time is split within New York City. And I mean, there's just, it is Brooklyn especially, it's a little bit of it's almost like little Nashville, parts of North Brooklyn now. There's so many bands. They're young guys, but very talented.
And I play with some of them. I have, when I play locally, I have a guy from a band. I don't know if you ever heard the band Kunk. Really good band. Zach Brady. So I play, you know, I have guys who are, I think Zach's about 28.
Uh-huh.
And I'm twice that. And then so. But I'm still doing it. Listen to that, kids.
Say, isn't that? I'm 40. I know I don't look at it, but that's how I'm old enough to remember Lauterbachs.
Yeah, I was
just wondering, like, how does she know it?
I was actually stunned.
A little hole in the wall on by the highway.
Yeah. But it was like four blocks from my house, so it was really convenient.
And near, just, near the subway.
Hey, near the subway.
Here you go. So on that note, do we want to kind of get into something? You're all plugged and ready to go.
Yeah, I'll try to do something. I hope we'll see how it sounds. This is going to be an electric thing. If it collaborates. Oh, yeah.
What's this called?
This is from the album Sketches of Spam, and this is a tune called A Somewhat Future Blues.
A Somewhat Future Blues.
And you'll tell me if it if we're coming in okay in about a second. Oh, Thank you.
Nice. Do you want to get into another piece?
Sure. Or,
okay. Let's do that. Since we're warmed up here.
We'll just
we're rolling.
With an electric set. This is a little something that's going to be from the forthcoming album. It's called Hojimbo. Oh, actually, yeah, I'll do that. It's gonna, 3 minutes. It fades in.
I totally get the whole. I could like close my eyes and imagine something very. I kind of want to imagine a light show a little bit, but I get the whole.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
You're talking about being cinematically inspired, but okay. So it's clearly Spaghetti Eastern isn't the only thing that's inspired by cinema, because you know this is some of the old, like, quote unquote older stuff. So
yeah.
You've been doing this sort of thing for a while. Do you have you? I'm just. Where has this gone? These pieces, what are the live performances of them like? I mean,
Live performances are kind of like this. I've been gigging as Spaghetti Eastern probably for about, I don't know, about 8 years.
Right.
The first record was a year and a half ago.
Uh huh.
And I was really, you know, enthused that, you know, it got very, you know, well reviewed. And I usually play around four to five gigs a month.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I'm all over New York, and
right.
You know,
you
doing
have
this
some
stuff
or coming up? I know you split your time between the city and Hudson Valley. You have some stuff north of the city coming up, right?
Coming up next Friday, I'm playing at Live at the Falcon, which is a really good place in Marlboro, with a band called, you should really check out, they're called Banda Magda. And it is a woman, it's Brazilian, but it's got Bulgarian influences.
Wow.
And so I'm doing an opening set for them. And then I'm also at the, you know, play all the places in Manhattan. I'm playing the Sidewalk coming up in this month. Silvana, which I really like. They're a very nice place in Harlem. I play the Bushwick Public House a bunch.
Right, and right around the corner.
Yeah. And then I'm up in the Hudson Valley again at Bangkok Cafe. Free meal in New Paltz. That's in July. So
I think it's kind of cool, the
response has been good. It's just basically I do the, you know, the instrumental stuff and then the acoustic vocal music too. So it's kind of a, I'm thinking of calling the next album Schizophonic. Because that's kind of like what the music is. It's like, you know, sort of guitar-y type electric stuff, and then it's very romantic. Acoustic stuff that I sing on. I use a lot of unusual tunings, and then I kind of loop so I can also solo, so I don't need a drummer.
I'm observing or appreciating now a lot of looping going on. I know it's been in play and in use, especially in with recordings and even in live performances for like forever, because it's a way to kind of layer certain sounds live. You know, that it's a way to do things, bring to a live stage that you usually can only do in a studio if you have these layers. So looping's good. I'm noticing it. I don't know if more people are aware of it, or it's just kind of a way to experiment and come up with different sounds on the spot. I've been observing a lot of looping being done.
I think a lot of it too, for me, when I do sort of the other side, which is very different from this side, which is the singer songwriter stuff, for lack of a better word, because I don't like that word, but it enables me to kind of lay down some chords and then do the guitar part, you know, and then play lead.
Right. It's how one person can sound like a couple of different people.
Yeah. And then go out for, you know, do a similarly hypnotic thing with acoustic guitar.
So it's kind of becoming, it's like the sampler of today in a way, but you're sampling yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's interesting seeing that, I'm seeing it more and more. So what other sort of things inspire sound? Obviously, you know, cinematic kind of stuff. Other musicians.
I mean, I think my whole history, you know, kind of like everybody, I came out of rock and guitar-oriented stuff, like British blues stuff. And then, you know, Jimi Hendrix and all that stuff. And then I got, like a lot of people, you get into jazz backwards. So I was like once somebody who got into jazz backwards from like, you know, the really good fusion guitarists. And then you go back to Charlie Parker and back to, but I like a lot of 70s mile stuff. Pete Cozy, who played on things like Agartha, just very crazy. Things like, you know, Sonny Chirac. I like this guy. I always pronounce his name wrong. He's an ECM guitarist. He's kind of the king of creepy, a Norwegian guitarist named Terje Rypdal. It's T-E-R-J-E Rypdal, R-I-P-D-A-L. And then I like a lot of good progressive music. I like a lot of krautrock. I like a lot of noise jazz.
Yeah.
And then I like a lot of, you know, Brazilian type singer song, like what you were playing before,
know,
like really good singer songwriters type stuff, and pretty much all of it gets mashed in, you know, I record on my place, you know, after we left Brooklyn, my place, I live on a houseboat in Port Washington presently.
Oh wow!
So I record on a boat. I record most of it, and then I go to a studio to kind of do the final polish and then do the acoustic things, because my engineer, who's a guy named Bob Stander, has like the really nice mics that I can't afford.
Or maybe you don't want to bring them on a boat. Just
yeah,
not
really.
For boating.
Well, there have
That's
been
different,
some
different recording on
you
a
know,
boat.
You know, a lot of people do. Peter Townsend records on a barge. Pink Floyd records on a barge.
Did
you should look
know
into
that.
This.
I have to check
the
this
guy.
Out.
The guy from one of the guys from the Love and Spoonful, after they were big, and I think in the 80s, he moved down and he had it. This is the horror story. He had a studio on a barge, and the barge sank. So he lost his studio. His studio sank in the water.
Wow.
So
that's your risk right there.
That's your risk.
sinking studios. You're listening to Here and Now with Rachel C. on Radio Free Brooklyn live every Thursday at 7, rebroadcasting Fridays at noon Eastern Daylight Time, a.k.a. New York City time. So you've got those gigs coming up. You've got a new album coming out, too. I want to make sure we don't forget to talk about that before we get into some acoustic stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the first album, Sketches of Spam, that came out about a year and a half ago. That's still available where you can get your fine music, which is all online and digital.
Great titles of everything, by the way. Sketches of Spam, Spaghetti Eastern.
Thank you. I'm glad you like it. You know, some people, you know, obviously Sketches of Spam is a play on Sketches of Spain, which is the famous Miles Davis album.
Right.
So, you know, the second album is going to be sort of a similar layout of possibly more, slightly more acoustic stuff. This is about two-thirds electric instrumentals and one-third acoustic, so it might be 60-40. And that one I was playing with, like I said, Schizophonic, and the other one was Dopio Zero. Dopio is, you know, it's like a double shot of espresso. And Dopio Zero is a kind of fine flour, I think, that they use to make pasta.
It all comes back. To carbs. We need them.
If you're going to run a half marathon, congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, I ran a half marathon.
Right here
again.
By the bike, this woman.
yeah, I rode my bike here. Gotta do it somehow. I'll run more half marathons. I don't know if I'm doing the Brooklyn one again. There's so much more work around it, not just running it. That's a whole other. But I digress. That's a whole other thing. Like, why is it so hard to get into races in New York and get your numbers and get there and all that? I chose to, like, you know, run the world's largest. I think it's the world's largest half marathon. I just thought, well, if it starts real early, that one doesn't start too far from where I live, like within 2 miles. So why don't I do that? Except you end in Coney Island. So far away, and there's always like scrubs on trains on the weekends, so you can't get back. But no, I had a really fun time, and thank you. And sure. You told me, Sal told me he's been running 30 years and hasn't run a race.
I haven't run a race.
5K. Coming up.
Never will do it.
I could do that. I mean, I've used to run like 8 miles. Now I run like 4. You know, but I mean, I used to run like 8, sometimes 10, but anything beyond that is just pure insanity.
Yes. I'm not going to deny that there's insanity in what I was doing with that Brooklyn half marathon. But okay, so we were just talking about you have some acoustic stuff for us, right?
Yeah, I could do that too. What's if that? You want to. I will have to switch if you're.
We're just switching out right now. While you're doing that, I can tell everybody, listeners at home, what we have planned in store for the next couple of weeks on Here and Now. Tune in next week live at 7. Maria Coloris will be stopping by while she's here in the States. There is a very special thing that Sal walked in on Tom and I recording happening on Thursday the 15th. Check out the social media to find out what that is. On June 29th, Tatiana Marie will be the guest. And then on July 6th, we're going to kick off the month of July with the one and only Slow Suck. That's what's going to be going on here at Here and Now on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Hope I'm not making too much noise.
You're not making too much noise. Now it's okay to make noise. There's some noise coming up from upstairs. So. What's this one called?
Well, this is from the album too. It's called Wild One.
Wild One.
Told I like girls, who are a little bit bent. Laugh in a purse, and her money's been spent. found all. She's not a lost cause. A winding road has brought her. Straight to my door. So watch what you say. She's a wild one. Her tide's hot today. She's a wild one. She goes on and on and on. Dimes in her head. She lives too much in the past. A family that didn't approve of her choices. A habit that wasn't melt glass. But I'm the kind of guy I can cure your soul. Just live for today, little one. That's what makes our life whole. So say what you will, she's a wild. Powered by pills, she's a wild one. She goes on and on and on and on.
Thank you. That's like something else there. You're listening to Here Now with Rachel C. on Radio Free Brooklyn. My guest, Spaghetti Eastern, a.k.a. Sockatality. That was that tail on the end of that one was really it. That's what you were. A good example of what you described, like
live stuff, you know. Yeah. Then you could kind of just go out,
but the romantic kind of acoustic with the more sophisticated chord progressions and the everything. Wow.
And dadgad tuning, my favorite, the DADGAD.
Yeah. So much can be done if you just. There we go. There it is. If you mess around with the tuning a little bit, certain guitarists are really known for that. Of course, Richie Havens is known for really taking. I'm going to tune everything to one note.
That's great. That sounded great.
Yeah, it did. So you've got the new album coming out later this year. You've got gigs happening pretty much all the time. If someone wanted to keep up with you and what you were doing, is there a good place to do that?
The best place is at the present is Reverb Nation.
Reverb Nation.
Or just friend me on Facebook.
He's friendly. He'll do
He's
that.
Friendly. He's on Facebook, but I go under my name, Sal Cataldi. I don't have a band page. Or
right.
Like that.
But Reverb Nation. I know a lot of artists
Eastern
prefer
Eastern
that.
Music.
Available on Bandcamp, as I know, preferred by a lot of musicians also.
Yeah.
But Reverb Nation will tell you like what you're up to.
That's
to.
Good. It has the gigs and places to buy the music and all that kind of good stuff.
Yes, and so I know there are some hard copies of the music because you came in with one. Thank you very much. I'll be ripping that at home before putting it in the studio library.
There you go.
I always steal it for overnight before I do that. But hard copies of music, digital copies, I assume, are available.
Yeah.
Where you can download.
Seems to be the preferred mode these days.
Yeah. Hey, I like the CDs. I like holding it and having it. I like having I feel like it's a backup hard copy.
Yeah.
This age. I know some people, there's some limitations to MP3s, although there's a lot of ways for people to buy MP3s.
I see you
now.
Have some vinyl here. We just got a turntable after many, many years.
Digging in. Oh, yes. These days, you'll have to see our loft. It's full of vinyl. God bless Rob, though, for being able to hang on to that vault. Some of these things are, 30 years old.
Yeah.
Or he's had some of these copies. If he's, I'll say, hey, do we have this particular album? He's like, yeah, it's on vinyl, the sleeve. And it's like from back in, when it was released in 1960-something. We have Rolling Stones. It's all on vinyl. It's on the high shelf, Christine. It's hard to hold on to stuff in life sometimes, but he's managed to hold on to all that vinyl, which is absolutely amazing to me. Anything else what I'd like to ask you, and I ask this of all my guests who I know have performed in New York and outside of New York, obviously, how do you find, because we celebrate live performance culture here on the show, what is your experiences performing live in New York and other parts of the country or the world even? What are some of your favorite cities or places to play? I'm sure there's a big difference upstate. You're not very far upstate, but Hudson Valley to New York City. But
I'm just getting I'm just getting acquainted with Hudson with the Hudson Valley, and I could say I like getting paid and I like getting fed, and actually several places where you go into people do it's kind of like the old school where they come for the club to hear music.
Right. Oh, and I can tell by the sound of the squeaky door in the background, it's almost time for Frequency Theory.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, hello. Tom. Stay tuned for Frequency Theory at 8 p.m. Tom's going to be bringing you some really fun music.
Fun,
he says. Woo-hoo. So you're talking about the Hudson Valley. They feed you. And that's always fun.
They feed you, and you actually do get paid to play original music. But I like, I love still playing in New York, of course, and I've done a lot of stuff in Kansas City with the Harry Karaoke Trio of Doom,
right.
As I was saying, the drummers in Kansas City. That was great. Lawrence, Kansas, unbelievable.
How would you find like a Kansas live performance experience versus just anywhere like over here?
Well, what happened is the drummer who was in this Harry Karaoke band, that Knitting Factory band I was telling you about, he moved to Kansas City. And when we were doing the second album, we did half of the second album in Kansas City. and did a bunch of gigs and did actually a public television thing, which I hear is floating around out there with all sort of psychedelic effects.
And, oh, neat.
You know, that was fun. He's I'd like to collaborate with him again, Doug Hitchcock. He's in Kansas City, but I hear they have good barbecue. So it's worth it. It's worth the trip.
Yeah. Music can take you places if you let it.
Definitely.
So can your art. On that note, let's see. I have some stuff here that I can play for you. Play from you, I should say. We're going to close out. Would you rather we close out on Downright Uptight or She Walks the Burning Stairs?
She Walks the Burning Stairs has a big beat and some crazy heavy metal guitar. Downright Uptight has a good beat and it's the album opener, so
right,
depends on your mood.
Depends on the mood.
Downright Uptight's a nice, they're both good titles, right?
Yeah, they're incredibly good titles. I would
do Downright Uptight.
Okay, we're gonna close out on Downright Uptight.
And thank you so much, Rachel.
Thank you,
Tom,
for
and go Radio Free Brooklyn.
Thank you. Yes,
it is my favorite new stream.
And thank you. Wow, that means a lot coming to somebody with your ear, sir. I have to say. And also, if big news, in case you hadn't heard, we are a nonprofit. We are a 501c3. So feel free to flirt with that little donate button on the screen there. You can write it off later. All right. Tune in next Thursday and every Thursday for Here Now with Rachel C. Sal. Spaghetti Eastern, thank you so much,
so
much for gracing my show with your presence. Tune in for Frequency Theory with Tom Tenney up at 8 o'clock. We're going to close this out with Downright Uptight.